Welcome to Night Sky Tourist, a place to learn the night sky, have fun with its ancient stories, meet astronomers and dark sky advocates, and fall in love with the dark. I'm Vicki Dirksen, your host and author of the website and blog, nightskytourist.com. If you've never visited the website, I invite you to stop by after the podcast. Check out some of the great blog articles, browse through the resource page, and sign up for the newsletters. The newsletters have great content that is exclusive for subscribers. Are you ready for an adventure under the night sky? Let's jump right in. In the last episode, I interviewed Linda Okeson McGurk about her book, The Open Air Life: Discover the Nordic Art of Friluftsliv and Embrace Nature Every Day. We talked about how in this book, she shares details about the Scandinavian mindset around spending copious amounts of time outside. And the amazing thing is that they do it year round, even in the long, dark, and cold winters of Scandinavia. At the end of that interview, I wanted to share a story of a recent experience that I had while spending time outside. But I try to be mindful of the length of each episode, and I felt like it was already long enough. I didn't want to take anything away from that interview by making the whole episode just drag on with additional segments. So I decided to throw in a short bonus episode this week so that I could still share this story with you. You can treat it like the star story segments that usually appear at the end of Night Sky Tourist episodes, because that's what it was intended to be. Here it is. I want to share an experience with you tonight, but you'll appreciate it more if you take the podcast outside under the stars. You'll still enjoy the story if you're listening during the daytime, but my hope is that you try to locate this deep space object yourself while I describe my experience to you. So pause the podcast to get yourself ready, but first, here are a few things that you might need to really enjoy this experience with me. Turn off all the exterior and interior lights in your home and set up some chairs in the backyard. Or better yet, drive to a darker location away from the city where you'll really appreciate the story. A stargazing app can be really helpful, but make sure that you turn the screen brightness down low and turn on your night mode setting so your screen has a reddish hue. If you have binoculars, break them out so you can use them. And for the best experience, go outside and give your eyes some time to adjust to the dark. And the longer the better, because it can take 30 minutes or more for your eyes to fully adapt to the dark. Okay, are you ready? Position your chairs so that you're facing south and get comfortable. We're going to fix our attention on one constellation in particular, but I'm going to mention a few others too. So see if you're able to find the constellation Cancer. It's made of faint stars, and it can be difficult to see in light-polluted skies. It's halfway between Gemini and Leo. A stargazing app can help you if you're having difficulty finding it. Tonight, I'm going to share a short story that I wrote recently about discovering a deep space object in the constellation Cancer. My husband and I had taken a picnic dinner into the desert so that we could watch the transition from sunset to full darkness. We wanted to watch the stars and the constellations appear one at a time and listen to nature all around us. So I wrote this experience to practice improving my observation skills and turning them into written work. And I did not intend to publish this, but it feels fitting for this episode for me. So sit back, relax, and try finding the things that I mentioned, keeping in mind that the night sky is seasonal. So if you listen to this at a different time of year than March or April, you might not see these objects. Are you ready? Let's jump into my story, which I'm calling Magic in a Hidden Bag of Stars. Magic appeared on nature's stage tonight. The nearby mountains swallowed the setting sun, its light reluctantly following, like a celebrity who tries to sign one more autograph before being whisked away. The afterglow compacts until it tightly hugs the peaks, sharply defining their silhouette and turning the saguaros and ocotillos into blackened cutouts against the gold, orange, and pink sky. Jupiter is the most eager of the nightlights, coming out to greet stargazers before the stage curtains draw back to reveal the cast of characters of the night sky. I've been coming to this show for months, and every night, Jupiter faithfully follows his routine, moving ever farther toward the west as the weeks go by. He doesn't seem to mind when the moon frequently upstages him, but tonight, the moon will only show up for the after party in the red-eyed hours of the morning. I waited for the coyotes to initiate their conversation about their dinner plans, but they must have taken their chat behind closed doors so no one could hear their strategy. The birds usually make a big production about going to bed. As they rustle in their nests after sunset, it reminds me of my kids going to bed when they were younger. They would yank the covers down and pound their pillow several times, as if this would make it softer. After getting in bed, they wanted a bedtime story, a drink of water, their favorite stuffed animal left by the bathroom sink. Is this the kind of stuff the birds do as they bed down for the night? But they must have worn themselves out today because their rustling was brief and quiet. I listened, expecting to hear the crickets tuning up for their evening symphony. But it must have been their night off, a chance to rest their well-tuned instruments and engage in an activity unknown to me. For all I heard was pristine silence. I sat, tilted my head, and hoped to tune my ears into the sounds of the desert at night. There was no sound save the ringing of my own ears. And then I heard it. I thought it was the deep, droning sound of a distant commercial jet, a low rumble that would grow louder and sharper until the airplane passed overhead. Instead, it stayed steady with no fluctuation, like a memory of sound rather than sound itself. It was the sound of a city, Phoenix. It wasn't a cacophony of sounds, cars, motorcycles, booming music, the voices of pedestrians and neighbors, or buzzing air conditioners. The city emitted a single collective sound. It was barely perceptible, felt in the chest more than heard in the ears because it was so far away. Sirius joined Jupiter on the darkening stage of the sky in its radiant, twinkling costume. Could this luminary be the inspiration for Jane Taylor's poem, The Star, more famously known as the song Mozart helped compose called Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? A single star stood alone. I summoned my mental star map and tried to locate it near Sirius. Could it be Betelgeuse in the constellation Orion? There weren't enough visible characters on the stage to provide its geographical context, so I waited. Another light flicked on, unannounced, seeming to arrive out of thin air. Rigel. I fixed my gaze on the space between Betelgeuse and Rigel and lingered. The stars of Orion's belt made a grand entrance all at once, and something inside me expected a trio of voices to proclaim their arrival with song. What would they sing if they did? Something goofy, I imagine, as that's the nature of most trios, the Three Stooges, the Three Amigos, the Three Musketeers. With Orion in full view, I could imagine the cultural stories unfolding before me. The shape of these stars forms a hunter and a warrior when the Greeks and Romans tell the story. The picture transforms into a canoe with three brothers who have caught three fish when told by the Maori of New Zealand. The brothers disappear when the Crow of Montana tell about the severed hand of their sister that they respectfully placed in the night sky. And the Ojibwe of northern Minnesota and Canada look for the Winter Maker, a character with unusually long arms stretching into the neighboring Canis Minor and Taurus constellations, encompassing the winter night sky. A little puff of cloud out of the corner of my eye catches my attention. I turn to look, but the cloudless sky in that direction is empty darkness. No stars, no planets, and no clouds. Gemini is nearby, so I turn my attention there when the smudgy cloud appears at the edge of my vision again, in the place where the constellation Cancer lives. The Greeks saw Cancer as a crab, but I often imagine a hermit crab that hides in its shell because the stars are so faint that I can't see them from my backyard in town. Tonight, in the darkness of the desert, Cancer has slipped out of its dark overcoat to reveal a simple outfit studded with humble diamonds. They are subtle, drawing little attention to the wearer. I turn my head away, and I use my averted vision, pretending not to notice the constellation, and the fuzzy cloud reappears, filling a space of sky more immense than the moon. I lifted my binoculars, careful not to spook the mysterious shape. Cancer held a secret bag of stars, and my binoculars pulled open the drawstring and allowed me to peek inside. "Excuse me," I whispered. "What is your name? I don't think we've met before." My stargazing app stepped in and formally introduced her as NGC-2632. "But everyone calls me the Beehive Cluster," the stars uttered in a shy murmur. I realize that we have met through the eyepieces of my friend's telescopes during past star parties, but I'd never seen her with my unaided eye before and was unaware that she even lived next to the obscure Cancer constellation. Tonight, I felt like we had met for the first time. We were alone in this quiet place, away from the glitzy lights of the suburbs and the modern technology that gives the illusion that the Beehive Cluster is the star of the party. What did Galileo feel when he first pointed his telescope at this open cluster in 1609? He saw 40 stars in there. But if he had a crystal ball to peer through the future Hubble telescope, he would see 1,000 stars. He could not know that thousands of miles away in China, where they didn't have telescopes yet, they saw this cloud of stars as a demon riding a carriage across the sky. And here I sat, hundreds of years and thousands of miles removed from Galileo, deep awe creeping through me. For a fleeting moment, I felt like I was the first person in the world to discover the Beehive Cluster on my own in the dark and quiet desert. And that felt like magic. There's a lot of competition out there in the podcast space, and I'm just thrilled that you found enough value in listening to Night Sky Tours to keep coming back. Growing a podcast audience is hard work. Listeners have millions of podcast options, or they can just choose to stream videos, scroll social media, listen to audiobooks, or 100 other things with their time. So I cherish every listener, because I know you made a decision to spend half an hour of your time here on Night Sky Tourist. So thank you. My favorite kind of growth is when somebody who loves listening to this podcast shares it with people that they know. Whether it's by word of mouth, sharing a link to your favorite episode through an email or a text, or sharing it on your social media page, that is the best promotion in the whole entire world. If you enjoy Night Sky Tourist, please think about ways that you can share it that makes you feel good. Another way you can help others find this podcast is by rating it and leaving a review. Because when you do this, it signals to others that Night Sky Tourist is worth their time. So if you have a minute today, please help me push Night Sky Tourist out to more people and grow it organically. Thank you for the time that you spend with me episode after episode, and for sharing with your family and friends. I am so grateful for support like that. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Night Sky Tourist Podcast. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tourist Podcast, please show your support by subscribing to it and giving us 5 stars. Your ratings are really important to me, and they help more people discover the podcast. Be sure to visit nightskytourist.com for great articles and resources. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter for exclusive content. Until next time, keep looking up.